1, 2, 1, 2. Welcome to your mom's house. This is your mom's podcast. I'm your mommy, Tommy. And this is your mommy.
I'm Christina, the second mommy.
And we're mommying out right now.
Tell them where we're mommying out, though. Well,
we're sitting in bed in a hotel. We're eating food.
At 3:30 in the morning.
It's actually 4 o'clock.
It's 4 a.m. And we are in Cincinnati, Ohio.
The Natty, where the Tommy mommy was born.
That's right.
Yeah.
Your mommy opened her legs and then out you came.
My mommy, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Did I say my mommy?
No, you said your mommy. You're right.
Oh, sorry.
My mommy really did. For real.
For reals.
Yeah. Gave birth to the mommy, Tommy.
The original mommy, the OG mommy.
Here.
I can't believe you were born here. Do you think about that a lot?
No, I don't think about it a lot.
I think about it a lot.
Do you really?
I do, because you're not from L.A. like I am.
You're not from L.A. either.
Well, I was born in Canada, but I moved to L.A. when I was like 4.
It's kind of a funny thing, though. Can I tell you, I've always thought it's weird.
What?
That you'll be like, I'm from L.A., I'm from L.A., but you're not from L.A.
How dare you?
I'm saying, I'm not giving...
How long does it take to be from a city?
I'm just saying, I give you your L.A. cred, but...
You're such an MF-er.
Babe, you weren't born there, though.
Dude, it doesn't matter. I moved there in 1980. I
understand.
4 years old.
Right, but I'm saying at heart,
yes,
you'll always be Canadian.
Fuck you, dude! Fuck off! No. I'm sorry, I yelled at the Marriott. I'm sorry, I've had many glasses of box wine tonight. I'm very excitable. But can I tell you that I took an oath to this great country
when Which
I
was... Which country? Canada?
How dare you? America. I took an oath to America that I would honor this country and renounce any citizenship. So I am American. Suck on those nuts.
Amen. And the things on this side.
Oh.
Just so you know. You were just speaking into the back of the microphone.
Oh. I'm sorry. I'm so drunk.
It's okay. It's all right. You're still the mommy.
Oh, the main mommy.
So anyways, we're working together this week, which is rare for us. People don't know that. But the mommies don't get to party together all the time on the road. We have to do our own thing. We do our own thing a lot.
We like to do our own things a lot.
Yeah. And
we're two separate artists doing our thing.
Right. And we don't do that whole, we're married mommies. Like, we don't do that.
Because that's so old-timey.
That's so lame.
But this is the only thing that we do together creatively, consistently.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So anyways, we're doing
stupid.
We're doing stand-up
couple
on the road. We don't make mention of it. We're married. But there's something very exciting going on this week, and that is...
Oh, my gosh.
That Christina,
yeah,
the main mommy, is recording her debut CD.
My mom debut.
Yeah.
I'm recording a CD this week at Go Bananas.
It's pretty exciting.
I'm excited, but I'm very self-critical.
Everybody is, though.
No, but I hate myself more than most people, I have to admit.
No, you don't. You don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't hate yourself more than most comics. Comics hate themselves.
No, I don't think so. There's a lot of comics that love themselves.
Not the good ones, though.
You think I'm good? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the good ones don't love themselves.
I love you.
Yeah.
I think I want to marry you.
I think I want to marry you, too. But the good ones don't love themselves, and everybody's super self-critical. And
I know. I just
It's really hard to record something and sign off on it and put it out.
Yeah. Can I tell you that I feel like I could record the CD for, like, a month and maybe be happy with the results.
I know how you feel.
Very meticulous. And you, too, when you recorded your
I know how you
similar
feel.
Feeling.
Absolutely. I do. I remember, there's something about, like, anybody who does any art form, to finally put it out there, it's a very vulnerable feeling.
It's horrifying.
And I think because in stand-up, you're actually, it's you alone talking, it's super vulnerable. It's not even, like, at least, like, if you paint, it's like... You know, yeah, it's vulnerable too, but it's like, it's something that you did.
Yeah.
It's not
you.
It's not.
Well, here's what I think is that if you're actually decent in stand-up, you're just being yourself on stage. Mm-hmm. You're as close to yourself as you can be.
Right.
So when someone doesn't like your stand-up, they're just saying, I don't like you.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's horrible.
And that's why it's hard to do. And it's very hard to like I remember, when I recorded mine. When I would the record company sends you like MP3 files. You're like, listen to this. And like, you give them like, you know, I like this or not. And I was listening to one of the shows that they were like, you know, this is the best show you recorded. And I listened to it and then I was like, okay. And I listened to it again. And I called them and I was like, I think this sucks.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I think this sucks really bad. And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, I don't know. Doesn't it just all suck? Like, doesn't the whole thing suck?
Don't you hate me as much as I hate me?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they were like, no, we thought it was really good. And I was like, I don't know. I just was listening to it, and I just think the whole thing just sucks.
No, wait. When you recorded it, did you feel like that was your best night, your best show?
Yes.
Also, but you two were in agreement.
I knew that the live reaction
right.
was crazy. It was good.
Right.
Like, it was... It what ended up being the seat, like the crowd was really hot,
yeah,
and they reacted great. But I was just like, "Don't I suck a lot though? Don't you think I suck?"
Yeah, and, you're so funny though.
And the people at the company were like, "No, we thought it was good." But like, that's the thing is that you listen to it a few times and you're like, "Nah, that pause sucks.
Right.
That joke, that setup sucks."
Right.
That line sucks. That punchline sucks. And then you
it
just
be
like.
Perfect.
Exactly. Because you start going, like, why did I say that? Why did I pause there? Like, you just start being so self critical.
Yes.
And there's no other. I mean, I can't say there's no other, but it's one of the few art forms where you're truly just singularly out there alone.
Mm-hmm.
And everything goes on you. The writing is on you. The performance is on you. The diction, the whatever you
delivery,
every single facet of it is on you.
Yeah, but on the other hand, that's the allure of it. Is you know, I was never a team player growing up.
Well, of course,
I hate team sports. I played tennis, which is me and one other person. Yeah. And I think if you're a lone wolf, then stand up is a great art form.
And when you're good, or when there's a good stand up,
yeah,
you give them like all the credit. You're like, that's
your
that
shit.
Person's great. Yeah.
Well, I think you're great.
No,
obviously.
Don't. No, come on. But I'm just saying.
You hate positive energy as well.
Brody, what are you talking about? I salute the sun every morning.
I wake up at 5 a.m. and I do my sun salutes, and then I drive to LAX Airport.
We've taken we love Stephen Brody Stevens. And,
oh, he's the best.
And we've taken, like, ideas of what, of his voice. And, like, things that he says, and we've created this fake character.
Yes.
Who's, like, based on, who's based
enjoy
on Brody.
It.
But in our mind, this character, this person, we can't really call him Brody because it's not Brody.
It's not Brody. It's a derivative of
it's
Brody.
It's a derivative of Brody. In our mind, this guy, there's a guy, because we know that there's somebody like
it's
this. There's so many weirdos. Yes. There's somebody out there who wakes up every day, like at 4, and goes like, I wake up every morning, and I salute the sun, and then I drive to the airport.
Because I like traffic.
I love to sit in traffic. I park outside of the airport, and I like to watch the planes land and take off. And then I keep my urine in jars.
Every one of my bowel movements I like to preserve in formaldehyde and keep in my basement, and I label them based on what I ate.
Keep a journal of every bowel movement, and I talk about the consistency and the smells.
This one,
I used,
enjoy it. I use Cholula on my taco.
Let's talk about Brody Stevens for a minute.
Can we?
Yeah, I mean, okay.
I love him.
The first time I became aware of Brody was probably like 6 or 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Doing some room in LA somewhere. It was some like, maybe it was a book show, but not like a club.
Not the store, not the comedy store.
I don't think it was a store. I feel like it was like some, it was something like that. It was like
Psychobabble.
Yeah, or like some Canoga Park thing or something like that, mm-hmm. where it was just like, yeah, you're the 10 guys doing it. But
I saw him in Santa Monica at the White Lion. What's that? White something, that girl was running it.
I don't know.
Anyways, any hoodles.
Any hoodles.
He's in The Hangover.
Man, and then I saw him. I didn't see him for a while. Then I saw him again, like a while ago, like over a year ago. I was on a show with him again. This time like at Red Rock or something. And this time I was a little more aware of who he was. Like, we were on the same show again, and he was like, yeah, how you doing? And like, kind of scoped out the room, and then he did, like, his Stephen Brody Steven thing.
Yeah.
And, like, I made choices and you made choices. Look at where you are today. Look at me. I'm in The Hangover, one of the highest grossing films of all time. And I was like, this fucking guy is insane. But like, so funny. But that whole angle is so funny what he does. And then you got to actually work with him.
Well, here's the thing is that he did warm up for Chelsea Lately at the same time that I was working there. And I would come down every day and just watch Brody do warm up because I think he was just one of the funniest parts of that whole show because he's so absurd. I don't know if you've seen his act, people who are listening, but what he'll do is he'll ask like where people are from. He'll be like, are you from Tarzana? Yes, I've been there. Corner of Woodman and Ventura. There's a bowling alley, blah, blah. Like he'll call out what's happening. And he used to just warm up that crowd. All these people from out of town and, you know, so excited to see Chelsea Lately. And he would like horrify them with a cowbell or like, he'd talk about his mother having a stroke. My mother had a stroke. I'm going to visit her. I have a dog named Daisy. Some of you make choices. But he's hilarious. Totally
horrified him because
no, they laughed.
Right.
No, he was phenomenal at it.
Getting that energy going, right?
Phenomenal. And you know, seriously, it's a really hard job warm up for a studio audience because they come in cold, and you have to get them excited to laugh at the roundtable guests and this nonsense.
You remember I did warm up.
You did warm up. Oh yeah, for last comic.
I did warm up.
It's a hard job.
During like season 2 or 3 of Last Comic, when I was just a couple years in.
Oh my God.
That was really hard.
Well, tell us what happened.
Well, no, I don't want to take it away, but I'm just saying.
I want to hear it.
No, it's more about like, I'm just more saying that like, I know how hard that job is.
Tremendous.
Super high pressure. Mm-hmm. And I was literally doing it 2-3 years into comedy.
Brody's the best.
And, you know, Brody's been at it like 20 years. He's been in stand-up.
And can I tell you that when he left Chelsea Lately or whenever they had their falling out, that show definitely has lost a major talent. And I think there's good things in store for Brody Stevens. I feel like his star is rising. And if you don't follow him on Twitter yet, you should. He's at All Things Brody on Twitter, right? He changed it from Stephen Brody Stevens to All Things Brody. So fucking funny.
I'm what?
No,
it's friends.
Brody is me friend. It was Brody is me
which
friend.
Which he later said was homage to a couple of like restaurant guys he worked with in New York. He would say, Brody is me friend.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
The whole point, I'm eating by the
way. What is the point? What are we talking about him?
I don't know. We just decided to talk about him.
But oh, we got that character.
The point is that he's just, oh yeah, the character, but he's just such a funny guy, so unique. I sometimes will guest sit in with Jay Moore on Jim Rome show.
Mm-hmm.
And Brody's a big sports guy, especially baseball.
Yeah, he loves
and
baseball.
And he'll call in and it'll just be the whole time I'm there, the only thing I'll jump in on really is like, let's just get, can Brody Stevens please call in? And he'll eventually call in, and he'll just run down, like, what he's doing that day. Yeah. In the valley, walking down. There's construction here.
I love it.
Walking around. Can't drive down the street. Drinking a latte. Good stuff. Just
enjoy. But what I like about Brody, too, is that he grew up in the valley the same as me, and he knows a lot of the same shitty things that you encounter growing up in the valley, like getting, you know, fucked with by Armenian kids and getting in fights with black gangbangers and all that shit, so... He's ridiculous.
Jewish.
Oh, Brody Stevens is Jewish. So there's Brody. And what happened? Oh, we had a tsunami. I'm so upset about that, man. Yeah. Talk about a major fucking bummer. I feel so bad for those people in Japan, and my heart just goes out to them. And you know, it really does make you realize how unlucky some people are. I mean, what did the Japanese ever do to anybody? What do? They come up with neat sex toys and weird pornography that I don't particularly enjoy, but other people enjoy. And
Sony equipment.
They've done nothing. And my only thought was, why couldn't this tsunami affect the Taliban? Why couldn't they sink the shitty people of Earth? And it just makes you realize that maybe God is not a benevolent, loving God. Maybe he doesn't give a shit. It makes you question. It makes you question everything, doesn't it, Tommy?
Yeah.
He's too busy chewing to give a shit about this.
Well, let's be honest. I've been drinking for a while. I've been drinking a lot now.
Yeah. I understand.
One, two, three. I probably had about six beers in the last.
Six beers?
Yeah.
That's a lot for a guy, even your size.
Yeah.
But don't you agree that senseless evil in the world, how the fuck can you believe in a loving God?
One of the best and biggest arguments
yeah.
for there not being a God, like the yes. one that, I've heard different answers to this argument, but is when you go like, well, what about this tragedy? And then somebody goes, well, like, I forget even what people say, you know, well, there's free will and there's all kind of things naturally happen, but when you do believe in a loving, all-powerful, and wonderful God, it's like, why would he allow all these innocent people to have their lives destroyed? I mean, you know, it's just...
It's ridiculous. I agree. I studied philosophy, as you may know. I studied philosophy.
Physiology.
Physiology.
No, it's philosophy.
It's philosophies. And I studied every proof for the existence of God. 1 year of my life, I devoted just to studying God, okay? Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds really ridiculous now that I'm 34, grown up. But there are. I have to say that there are no good logical proofs for the existence. And you have to believe it. It's just belief.
You always go, I've had philosophical discussions.
There's one good argument by Anselm.
But you change a lot.
Your
feelings, I think it's very relevant, but your feelings will go from like, there's no way there's God to like, there's maybe possible.
Because the Catholic in me that I was raised Catholic wants to go, philosophically
you'll believe in it sometimes.
Well, surely there has to be a creator or a first cause or... something to give relevance and purpose to the universe. I do believe in that. But then when you have senseless evil, when you have natural disasters that are not man-made, like there's man-made evil like the Holocaust or the Taliban, and that shit you go, all right, well, maybe God gives you free will, and then you can do that, and you can fuck up the world on your own. Yeah. But senseless evil like pedophilia or fires and earthquakes, it really does jar me and makes me... really just
it's horrifying.
Question everything.
The extent of how much damage is done. Like this earthquake is fucking amazingly powerful. 8.9.
Yeah.
It's the fifth, I think it's the fifth most powerful earthquake in recorded history. There's
it's
only
retarded.
Four earthquakes more powerful than this in recorded history, which is astounding. I mean, the last one that was close to this powerful was in 1960.
Where?
I don't remember if it was Chile or...
Chile.
Or...
Chile.
Maybe Japan. But...
Nippon.
That kind of makes me think about natural earthquakes. I've been through some ones in L.A.
Little baby steps.
The very first one. You know the first one that I felt was? I moved to L.A. in January of 2002. Mm. And so the first place I lived was, I lived in an apartment with a friend in Sherman Oaks for a couple months, I think. Maybe not even a couple months, maybe a month. So one of the first weeks, I bet if you look it up, sometime in January of 2002, there must have been, I bet you can find on record, but I was standing at the counter in the kitchen, and there was a laptop on the counter. And I remember I was typing something on it. And then I felt my underneath me like a little shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I remember I was like, oh, it's just the subway, you know?
Yeah.
And then I kind of was like...
There's no subway.
I go, oh, wait, there's no subway.
Yeah.
And I looked at my friend, and he just smiled and nodded. And he was like, yeah. And I go, that was an earthquake? And he was like, yeah. I was like, that's fucking terrifying. Like, it was so scary to feel that. And we've had a couple... We had the Sixth Street place. Remember we woke up that one time?
Yeah, man.
It's
terrifying.
For somebody that's never been through an earthquake, the best description of it is like the feeling is kind of like being near a train or a subway, like that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
But intensified much more, obviously, depending on the scale of how powerful an earthquake it is, and for longer, and of course, out of nowhere, because there really is no earthquake. There is no train or anything, but. You've been through real shit. Like, what was the big one?
1994 Northridge earthquake.
What was that like?
Well, first of all, they don't give it an official number because it was some
some scandal, like if they actually gave it a number, the scale of it, that the government had to pay us, the state of California or something, I think.
What?
Yeah, there was some, so they don't refer to it as a number. They refer to it as the time it happened, which coincidentally is 4:20.
Wait, I don't understand.
So, okay, the earthquake happened in 1994 at 4:20 in the morning, okay? Now, if I think there was some, I don't exactly remember, it's a long time ago now, but if we actually gave it a number of like an 8.0 or whatever, 7.9, yeah, that meant that like the state of California or the federal government or somebody could qualify for some form of aid that was like too expensive, or I forget, it was some huge
they
conspiracy.
Have to know what it was.
They do know what it is, but they don't, they, for some reason they didn't release it, and I wish I could remember now and I can't, but. But it's fucking terrifying. That one in 1994.
Wait, there's no record. Like, if you look it up.
If you look up the official, like, number of what it was, I think it's in debate. And I can't remember what the fuck the official reason was. But there was some scandal about they'd have to pay us more money, or the state of California would get money if it's over a certain magnitude.
So they were just like, no.
Yeah. So what happened is I was like 17 or 18 years old. And then all of a sudden I got thrown out of bed, and it was the fucking scariest thing ever. And we were all huddled in the hallway in the dark until daylight. And the thing that you don't know about earthquakes is when there's a big one and then there's aftershocks, and you just kind of sit in the dark. And if you're lucky, you're smart enough to have a flashlight and like a radio so you can hear what's going on. But it's very fucking just jarring and disturbing, and everything's broken in your house, and you just wait for daylight. Because you're not supposed to go outside, because you could get hit by power lines or other houses. And we didn't have running water for 3 or 4 days. We had to take shits into plastic bags.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
You shit in plastic bags?
Yeah. Took a shit in a plastic bag and no running water.
Did
and
you keep it?
And I kept it in jars under my bed. Is that right? Yeah. Is that normal?
That's the way you're supposed to. You still have it?
I still have all of my shits. I've been numbering them since I was 17. So it was supposed to be 6.7 is what we looked up.
It's recorded by like whatever.
Yeah, but there's some fucking conspiracy. I'm telling you, I'm gonna read about it. I'll figure it out. But we don't have other things, like we don't have hurricanes and shit. Like you had hurricanes growing up, yeah, right?
I mean, as far as natural disasters go, I mean, earthquakes are obviously devastating and horrifying. But I'm telling you, I mean, the only thing about a hurricane that's you know, okay, that's not terrible about it is that you have the warning.
Yeah.
That, you know, they give you the, hey, 5 days from now, guess what's going to come? Mother Nature's going to fuck you in the ass. they, you know, you get the warning.
Good
but,
morning.
I went through a number of hurricanes living in Florida, and it's incredible. I mean, you see the power, like the magnitude. Dude, the scope of it all. There's nothing like the wind, the rain. You know, just picture the worst thunderstorm you could ever imagine, times 1,000, and that's a hurricane.
So
and
scary.
It is. I mean, sometimes you're like, oh, it's only cool if it's like a category 1 or 2. And then it's just like a bad thunderstorm, mm-hmm. and your house can basically take it. And you're like, well, it's a really bad storm. I don't mind bad storms, but when you know that a 3 or higher is coming, we would always pack up the car and drive into the middle of the state.
Oh.
You know, because you have to get away from it. You gotta drive away because you know, like this thing is gonna fuck up everything,
mm-hmm.
and you would see. I mean, that's actually really the whole thing. The most devastating thing about Katrina was that, you know, everybody, and even I was probably at the time one who would be like, why don't they just leave?
Yeah, but then you realize, I don't understand that.
But the reason why those people, the people who didn't leave was because they were poor.
Yeah.
Like when you're poor, you're like, well, like you just don't leave your home.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
all you have, and you don't have like 3 cars that you pack up and drive away in. Like, that's just what they
but
don't have.
Can I tell you something right
what?
Now? They're
what?
Threatening that, like, there's radiation that's going to spill to California.
Yeah.
I'm ready to pack up and get the fuck out. If they tell me that Silver Lake is going to be, like, irradiated and we move back, yeah, I'm going
to
leave.
Oh, yeah, I know. But that goes, again, to the point that we're not fucking
destitute?
Yeah. Man. So that was something that we would do, pack up and leave. But man, like you see, I mean, obviously you see the damage of an earthquake like that. Hurricanes are just fucking, it's amazing to see where you lived.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure you feel the same way with like earthquakes, mm-hmm. but like, man, we would go, like, you know, we get the warning that this hurricane's coming, we'd leave town, and you'd come back, and everything would be just fucked. Like, every tree was gone, blown over, you'd see the roofs missing from houses, and like, it just devastate everything. There was one time, I think Aaron was the name, came and just destroyed all the house, like, all, everything that was close to the coast was just fucking destroyed.
Yeah, I think earthquakes are, I mean, the scale of Japan is ridiculous. That's just done. Done skis. But in LA, that Northridge earthquake, things just crumble, and good structures can stay up. But people lost their homes. A lot of people did. And that was 2 years after the LA riots in 92, where our city was just completely fucked. There was a period of a few years. And then we had Malibu was on fire. It was just like one thing after another, man.
Yeah.
It was retarded.
LA riots must have been fucking...
That was awesome,
that's not a natural disaster, but that's fucking man-made disaster. It should have been.
That, I remember being 15 years old when that happened and watching it on the news and watching LA burning down. And that was fucking crazy. And all us Valley kids were terrified that the riots were going to spread to the Valley. Of course it's not going to spread. Scared. Well, you know, white America is scared. Yeah, when you see... Yeah.
That's funny. It's funny. Anger. If you're not from LA, like... back then, that was just your image of what LA was.
Yeah, it's on fire and crazy.
Yeah, you're just like, that's lost. That you're like, that's the whole city. LA, like, you can't break down.
Yeah.
You don't have an idea of like, oh, that's, you know, further north. And that, yeah, you're just like, hey, that city is rioting.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Terrifying.
But it was. And our school was shut down. I didn't go to school that week because of the riots.
Yeah.
So, yeah, LA did kind of shut down.
Can we talk about that dip for a second?
It's phenomenal.
What is that?
It's French onion dip.
That's really good.
You can only get it at Kroger's when we travel. It's a Marzetti.
Marzetti? Can we endorse them? Hello, Marzetti.
Delicious.
You make a great French onion dip. And also, this Sonny and Joe's brand, Simply Legendary, Hot Enough Hummus with a question mark.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, there's a lot of labels on this hummus, but it's really good.
Delish. Thank you.
Thank you, beer. So, what else? We're going to do a shorter Momcast, we decided.
Mm-hmm.
Those other ones were
Talk
too long.
For the show.
Oh, yeah, we did Rogan, Joe Rogan, our friend Joe, has a, he's doing, every Wednesday, he's doing Sal's Comedy Hole, and, Sal... It's this guy who opened his club. He's like an East Coast New Yorker. He opened the club originally on La Brea, I think. And I didn't know that he moved. Yeah, he moved to Melrose. And now he's got this location in Melrose where it's like a restaurant. I think they have like coffee and stuff. And he's building. And right now they're doing shows in the front room, like where the restaurant is during the day. But they're knocking down... Whatever. They're building bigger space within the place.
Awesome.
So it's going to have like two rooms now. It's going to have like a big room and a little room. And then the front will still be the restaurant. We did it on Wednesday and we had a fucking blast, right?
So much fun. And then Ari Shaffir was there, Eliza Schlesinger, Tom, myself.
Red Band. And Joe.
And it was so much fun. And it's such a cool crowd because it's all like Rogan fans and they're super... Like, they're fucking cool people because they're not afraid of, like, ooky things in life. Yeah. And they're really fun and they laugh at stuff.
But it's also, like,
cool.
The
a cool spot.
Like, Sal has the, he has the right idea.
Yeah.
Like, it's that what you kind of want and imagine that you would want when you're a comic, when you start off, where it's like, it's not too big.
No.
Everybody who's there is there to watch stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a real feel for, like, what's funny and like it's just what you want. Like there's just a
gritty and
it's gritty
raw
and grimy
and dirty and that's how stand up should be. Filthy.
Exactly.
Filthy.
And there's
full of derelicts, masturbators.
I think it's gonna be that's gonna be the spot, man. That spot's really gonna take
I
off.
Think so too.
And Sal is like like he does it. Like he likes comedy and he likes comics, and he makes you feel welcome when you get there. And yes, like it's just a great
cool dude. It's going to be a great spot. Check it out if you're in LA. Sal's Comedy Hole.
Sal's Comedy Hole. It's on Melrose. I'm trying to remember
what the cross street is. Oh, it's like near where Melrose Avenue, like where all the cool stuff is. It's near the Groundlings. It's just up the street from the Groundling Theater.
I want to say it's the 56 something. Is that right? Or 76?
I don't remember, man. 76 you know what? Something.
I bet you I can find out.
76 something.
I bet you I can find out if I go here.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm very...
You're multitasking on your my phone.
Yeah. Here, let's find the guy.
You're very smart.
There. It is 7356 Melrose Avenue.
Word.
Los Angeles, 90046. Yes!
Do it!
And that is where you can go to Sal's. So, anyways, check it out. Check it out any night. They have shows 7 nights a week.
Yeah.
But Wednesdays, you can see Joe Rogan and friends in the basically what is now an 80-seat venue, which is pretty fucking cool.
Oh, yeah.
We're having a great time.
Winding down. Partied a lot tonight.
We did. Last night, too.
Yep.
Go Bananas has got to be one of my top three favorite clubs in the country.
So much fun. Everything's right about that club, too. Small venue.
Yeah, and that goes... See, there's something... It really is important about the owner, like they're the manager. Yeah, Mikey and company here run a fucking stellar comedy club.
Everybody's cool as shit. The staff is cool. Low-key.
But the main thing is they give a shit about stand-up. That's the big factor.
Yep.
Our Cincinnati friend Jeff Tate will be coming out to Los Angeles
next week.
He's going to crash with us. And I'm going to do a bunch of shows next week at the Comedy and Magic Club. So if you're in L.A. and you want to go to Hermosa Beach, you can catch me Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Comedy and Magic Club this coming week. What about you, Tina?
I will be at the Aspen Laugh Festival March 17th through 19th in Aspen, Colorado, and I've never been there before. And I'm excited to see it, but I don't like snow.
Yeah, but that's pretty exciting. Though. Aspen's going to be cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I think it should be good. There's a lot of good comics on the bill, and I'm excited to hang out with them and see what's up. So if you're there, come and say hi.
That's rad.
And that's it for now.
Yeah, I'm going to grab some more bread and get some more hummus.
Me too.
And that's fun. I like you, Mommy.
I like you too, Mommy. That was a really fun time.
Yeah, and we'll do another Momcast. We can do more of these. This is low pressure. It's only like 30 minutes.
Easy peasy, man.
Yeah.
We nailed it.
Maybe we'll do another one tomorrow or Monday. Maybe we'll do podcasts on a plane.
That's a really fun idea.
That was fun. Smart. All right. Bye, guys. We'll talk to your mommies pretty soon.
Bye, meows. Talk to your mommies. Like, soon.